Hello and welcome back to the Deep Dive. So I want to start with a feeling I'm pretty sure everyone listening knows intimately. It's not, high anxiety or some big crisis. It's heaviness. It's those days where your mind just feels like it's wading through treacle. You're stuck, you're overthinking, or maybe you just completely checked out.
Oh, absolutely. The dreaded mental fog, the blahs.
Exactly, the blahs. And the gut reaction, for me anyway, is to try and think my way out of it. I'll sit there and I'll analyze, why do I feel like this? What's wrong with me? Did I sleep weird? How do I fix it?
You try to use logic to sort of fight the cloud?
Yeah, and it almost always just makes the cloud thicker.
It does. And that's the real paradox we're digging into today. We try to use the thinking mind to solve a problem that is, in a way, caused by the thinking mind. It's a bit like trying to bail water out of a boat with a leaky bucket. You're just cycling the water around and getting exhausted.
So if thinking isn't the way out, what is? That's the big question. We're exploring this idea today called penetrating inquiry. And I want to be clear up front because that word penetrating, it can sound a little aggressive,
A bit harsh, yeah.
but this isn't about interrogating yourself. The RAFT to Freedom program actually calls it a gentle leaning in.
Right, it's a shift from force to fascination. It's about getting curious instead of getting critical.
We're pulling all of this from the RAFT to Freedom program, specifically from Chapter 45. But before we get into the details, for anyone new, we should probably orient them. What exactly is the RAFT framework?
So RFT, and it's pronounced just like the boat, RAFT is an acronym. It stands for Recognize, Abandon, Freedom, and Train. It's basically a framework to help you navigate away from those unwholesome mental states, the habits that cause suffering, and toward more clarity.
I like that. Recognize, abandon, freedom, train. So where does today's topic, this inquiry, fit in?
Well, Chapter 45 sits in the later parts, the freedom and train phase.
Okay, so this implies we're not just in survival mode anymore.
Precisely. In the beginning, in recognize and abandon, you're often just trying to, keep the boat afloat. You're spotting the leaks, throwing out the heavy baggage of old habits. But here, we're actually learning how to sail. We're moving from trying to fix ourselves to just understanding the experience itself.
And to set the tone, the chapter opens with a quote from Gautama, the Buddha. It's a little dense. He says, "Wise attention, much practiced, is the nutriment for the arising of the unarisen investigation of states, enlightenment factor."
It is a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Classic ancient text translation.
Unarisen investigation of states, enlightenment factor. But the word that really jumped out at me there was nutriment. He's calling attention food.
He is, and that's such a key insight. Gautama is saying that when the mind is dull or stuck, it's basically starving. It's starving for the right kind of stimulation, but we usually feed it the wrong thing.
Right, when I'm feeling low, I feed it social media. Or I feed it worry.
Junk food, exactly. Or on the flip side, we try to just relax it away, which actually creates more dullness. He's saying the specific food, the nutriment that wakes up a stuck mind, is investigation. It's looking closely, wise attention.
So curiosity is the protein.
Curiosity is the entire meal.
This brings us to a really key distinction the RAFT program makes. They talk about two different ways of investigating. Earlier in the program, they discuss fearless investigation, but today it's penetrating inquiry. They sound kind of the same. What's the difference?
They do sound similar, but their function is completely different. And getting this is key. The text uses a brilliant analogy. Think of fearless investigation as the work of a mechanic.
A mechanic. Okay, so hands greasy looking under the hood.
Exactly. A mechanic looks at an engine because it's broken. They ask causal questions: what caused this? Where's the leak coming from? How do I fix this part?
It's diagnostic. It's all about history and repair.
It is, and it's really useful if you're trying to understand a deep pattern or a trigger from your past. But penetrating inquiry, that's not a mechanic, that's a navigator.
A navigator. Okay, what's the navigator doing?
Well, imagine you're sailing. The navigator doesn't sit there asking, why is the wind blowing from the north? Who decided this?
Right, asking why doesn't change the wind.
It's irrelevant. The navigator asks, what is the wind doing right now? Is it gusting? Is it steady? Is it shifting?
I see the difference. The mechanic wants to fix the machine. The navigator just wants to read the conditions to keep moving.
Correct. The program says penetrating inquiry doesn't argue with the storm. It studies conditions to set the sail. It's a tool for the present moment exclusively. You aren't asking, why am I sad? You're asking, what is the actual texture of the sadness right now?
That's a huge relief, actually, because when I'm in a bad mood, trying to be the mechanic is exhausting. I end up psychoanalyzing my entire life.
And that's where we get stuck. This brings us to what the RAFT program calls the pivot of freedom.
The pivot of freedom. Sounds big.
It is, in its effect. But it's just a simple shift from asking why to asking what.
The why versus what battle. Okay, let's dig into this. We're so trained to ask why. Why is why the enemy here?
Well, in emotional regulation, why is a trap. I mean, think about what happens in your head when you ask, why do I feel this way?
I immediately start telling a story. I feel this way because of my boss, and that's because I didn't sleep well, and I didn't sleep well because...
Exactly. Why spins the wheel of the narrative self? It pulls you into your identity, your past, your judgments. It creates rumination. You're no longer actually feeling the emotion. You're just thinking about it.
You're in the spin cycle.
Yeah.
Watching the movie of your life instead of living it.
You are. Now, the pivot is to swap that for what, instead of why am I like this? You ask, what is the specific sensation of this mood?
Okay, give me an example. Let's say I'm procrastinating and feeling guilty. Instead of, why am I so lazy? What do I ask?
You ask, what does this lazy feeling actually feel like in my body? You look for the physics of it. Is there a heaviness in my shoulders, a tightness in my jaw, a buzzing in my stomach?
So I'm treating the feeling like a weather pattern, not a personal flaw.
Yes. And the second you do that, you've disengaged the storytelling mode. You're back in direct sensory contact. The program puts it so well. You stop trying to solve the problem of self and start investigating the process of experience.
Problem of self versus process of experience. Wow, that's a game changer. Because fixing me feels like a lifelong project.
But an experience, that's just weather, and weather passes.
Right. But... playing devil's advocate, isn't there a time for why? If I'm anxious, don't I need to find the cause to solve it?
There is a time for that. But remember the analogy. If you're in the middle of a storm, analyzing why the storm started doesn't help you sail. You navigate first. Later, when it's calm, you can be the mechanic. But penetrating inquiry is for when you are in the thick of it.
That clarifies the timing. And speaking of timing, the text says this tool isn't for every situation.
Yeah. No, and this is so important. If you are in a full-blown panic attack, or you are just incandescent with rage, deep inquiry might actually backfire.
Why? I'd think looking closely at anger would help.
It can, but inquiry is energy. It's stimulating. If your system is already overstimulated, too hot, too chaotic, adding more energy is like pouring gasoline on a fire.
So if I'm already agitated, I should be asking, what is the texture of this?
Probably not yet. In that case, you'd use what the RAFT program calls the ballast triad, which are calming, grounding techniques. Penetrating inquiry is the medicine for the opposite state, when the mind is dull, heavy, checking out.
The text calls it sloth and torpor.
Yes, which sounds like a dusty old law firm, doesn't it?
It really does. Sloth and torpor. We'll get to your case eventually.
But it just refers to that mental heaviness, lethargy, the blahs, the desire to just shut down.
Okay, so for the blahs, the program have a fire metaphor. Walk me through that.
Imagine your mind is a fire. If the fire is dying down, getting smoky and dim, what do you add to it?
Well, you don't add water.
Right. And you don't add wet grass, which is the metaphor for more calmness or relaxation. If you try to force a dull mind to just relax, you'll probably fall asleep.
That explains why I just take a nap when I try to meditate when I'm tired.
Exactly. You're adding wet grass. To wake up a dying fire, you need dry fuel. And the dry fuel for the mind is curiosity.
Curiosity is fuel.
It's a stimulant. The RFT program lays out this really cool chain reaction. It starts with that sincere question, what is this? That question stirs energy. When energy rises, joy arises because the mind loves being interested in things. And from that joy, the system settles into a bright, clear steadiness.
So it wakes you up, but not in a jittery caffeine kind of way.
No, it's a focused clarity. It pushes the fog back. It turns the lights on.
Can we get into the science of this for a second? Why does asking, what does this feel like, actually work? Is there a neurological reason?
There is. It has to do with how the brain switches between self-reference and direct sensation. When we're stuck in that rumination mode, we're heavily using what's called the default mode network, or DMN.
The story of me center.
Right. The why is this happening to me network. But, and this is the cool part, the brain finds it very difficult to be heavily active in the DMN and its sensory processing networks at the same time.
So it's like a toggle switch.
More like a seesaw. When you deliberately shift to curiosity, what is the actual temperature of this feeling? You are literally shifting blood flow and electrical activity away from the story centers and into the sensing centers. You're breaking the rumination circuit.
So you're not just distracting yourself, you're changing how the hardware is being used.
Exactly. And psychologically, this is a lot like decentering or diffusion in therapies like ACT. It's the difference between looking from your thoughts versus looking at your thoughts.
Looking at them, like they're just events happening in the mind.
Precisely. You turn the emotion into an object of study, it stops being you and becomes it.
The text also brings in the philosopher Stephen Batchelor. He reframes this whole thing as wonder.
I love this part. Batchelor basically says inquiry isn't just clinical, it's an act of wonder. He says it's when the world becomes strangely vivid.
Vivid.
Yeah. Well, we spend our lives labeling everything. Tree, car, annoyance, and once we label it, we stop seeing it. But when you ask, what is this? With real curiosity, you peel the label off. You see the raw data again.
It's awareness meeting life directly before our habits get in the way.
It makes the world feel fresh again, which is the complete opposite of that heavy, dull fog we started with.
Okay, I'm sold. I want to be a navigator.
Yeah.
But let's get super practical. I'm at my desk. I feel that heaviness roll in. What are the actual steps? The RFT program calls it the lantern of inquiry.
Right. And lantern is the first instruction. It says lantern, not floodlight.
I love that image. What's the difference?
A floodlight is harsh, it's blinding, it washes everything out. A lantern is focused and gentle, so your inquiry shouldn't be aggressive. It's that gentle leaning in we talked about.
Okay, gentle. Step two.
State over story. This means you actively ignore the sentences in your head. You go directly to the body. Is the boredom hot or cool, tight or loose? Is it in your stomach or behind your eyes?
Use the body as the dashboard.
Exactly. And keep the question simple. A quiet internal, what is this, is enough. You don't need a huge questionnaire. Just, what is this?
And then there's an instruction about steering by small tests.
This is the navigator part again. You make a tiny adjustment, soften your jaw by 10%, lengthen your exhale by just a second, and then you watch what shifts.
As you're interacting with it.
You're participating. If I relax my shoulders, does the feeling in my chest change at all?
And the final one, which I think is the most profound, is follow the movement.
Yeah.
Follow the movement. This implies something huge. It implies that there is movement. It means
Yeah.
you track the arc of the sensation. You watch it arise, you watch it peak, and this is the key. You watch it fade.
Yeah.
Because the ultimate lesson here is that no wave lasts forever. And that is powerful. Because when we're stuck, the big lie our brain tells us is that it's permanent. This is just who I am now. I'll be stuck forever.
Exactly. The narrative says forever, but the direct sensation says changing. If you really look at boredom or anger or craving, it's not a solid block. It's vibrating. It pulses. It proves the story wrong.
It proves the story wrong. That's really the freedom part of the RAFT acronym, isn't
That
it?
is the freedom.
Yeah.
You stop frantically trying to get rid of the feeling and you start learning the physics of the ocean. You realize the waves can't actually sink the raft if you learn how to ride them.
Okay, I'm keeping that one. We're no longer bailing water. We're learning the physics of the ocean. So let's recap. We started with the heavy, dull mind. We learned that trying to fix it like a mechanic with why questions just gets us stuck. Instead, we become a navigator. We use penetrating inquiry, that gentle, what is this, to shift from our story to our senses. We use curiosity as dry fuel to wake up the fire.
And we remember to use the right tool for the job. If we're frantic, we calm. If we're dull, we inquire.
This material is just so helpful. We should really credit where it comes from.
We should. The RAFT to Freedom Workbook is written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen. And in a really amazing act of generosity, they are making the entire 66-chapter program freely available online.
That's a huge resource. 66 chapters.
It is. It covers everything from the absolute basics to these very advanced
And
strategies.
people can just go and get it.
Completely free. You can find it all at raft2freedom.org. That's raft, the number 2, freedom.org.
Definitely check that out. Now, before we finish, I want to leave everyone with a little challenge, a way to put this into practice.
Right. Time to try the pivot.
So, the next time an unpleasant emotion comes up today, and it will, maybe it's just a little frustration or boredom pause, don't ask, why is this person so annoying?
Instead, just ask yourself, can I lean in and see what this is actually made of?
Turn on the lantern. See what happens to the fog.
And to send us off, there's a perfect quote from Dorothy Parker at the end of the chapter. It sums this all up. She said, "The cure for boredom is curiosity. There is no cure for curiosity."
I love that. Once you turn that light on, it stays on. Thanks for diving in with us.
A pleasure, as always.
We'll see you in the next deep dive. Stay curious.